I finally got all three of them. I am writing a book. This will kill you. The title will be Saucer Down 12 Miles East of Aztec. Scully was right. And he wants me to send him this stuff. So I thought that was so, this is last year, you know, I thought that was so swell that I called him up. Yeah, he's a nice little fella. La Mirada, California is a short call. I said, yeah, I'll send you the junk if I can find it. I said, I want $25,000 up front. Then when you use it, I want another $25,000. He said, Mr. Cobb, I'm a journalist, or something like that. Well, if you want to see what some of these characters look like, I forgot all about this. Whoops. It's not broken, so. That's Slater. That's a man named Lehman. Now, a big newspaper publisher. He was an assistant DA assigned the case. That's Keating, the DA. Here's some of the plutonium tipped rods, and oh, they had another really nice little scan I left out the other security. Do not open this machine. It has secret government, the wiring and circuitry inside, and it has an explosive charge. If you open it up, kaboom! It had a Burgess back of it. Here's the Clayhauer, the dentist whose statue had lapsed with the machine apart. Here's an interesting court scene. This is an attorney for Newton. There's Newton, not looking too hot. Barr got sick in the middle of the trial. I presume he really was ill. The judge gave him a little recess for 2-3 days. Then he reappears in a wheelchair with a nurse in uniform, and she's giving them the pills, you know, in front of the jury. No, they were real sport. So the judge says, knock, and only back for him. What happened? He says, you can't give the pills to the guy in front of the jury. So she takes them out in the hall, you see, and then she waits. And when the jury goes out for recess, she shoves the pills in. There's Herman Flater, the man with the mallets, the man with the guts. And he's shaking Clayhauer's hand. They both got their machines apart. I think these were the ones we bought for $3.50. There's that picture you saw before. That's poor Frank Scully. There's Newton. And there's this guy Kohler, who worked for a radio station. It was a sort of a plaque for Newton. I don't know what function he performed for him. I didn't relate to him too well. Incidentally, with Newton, he spoke fluent German and had gone to the University of Berlin under der Linden. So I got him in the elevator one day with Al Frankenstein, whose name you may recall. He was formerly art and music critic for the Chronicle, and spoke fluent German. I said, I'm going to get this mother in the car, Al, and you get in there and put mine in German. And poor Al, driving up. He's such a shy, sensitive man, he couldn't do it. But I got another man who could speak German. He also said he went to Baylor University. Oh, yeah, this wire university. He sent trying to be a graduate from some words, graduate. They said, have no such record of saying he's a guy. Here are some. This is the $800,000 machine. It started the crossfire. This is the big Bertha. And old Jabbar comes in with this little box. And then Newton comes in and gets our arthritis fixed. And finally, the little box, out goes this one. And here's Herman again. And here's a couple of shots you need. That's Jabbar. That's Newton. That's me. Long ago. I'll tell you a little something I really haven't intended to tell. I haven't ever told an audience or anyone that's very close friends. When the trial was over, I was pleased, naturally. And Slater had a big Cadillac, and came out of the hog yard, but it was a brand new Cadillac. And he was pleased. I said, you know, Herman, you are a real brave man. Yeah, I am smart too. I said, yeah. I said, I know. Yeah, but you don't know this. Look in the back seat. See the baby there? I got it from England. $120,000. She fight oil, water, any place. You believe that? There's no profit to be delighted to you. Dr. Herman, good luck.
Did Scully, was he alive at the time of the trial so that he knew what happened?
I believe he was, yes. I didn't have any further contact with him. They had made such hilarious claims that they used some kind of stuff that Newton and Zabauer had developed in their secret labs to make shafts for Howard Hill, the archer, you know, the great archer he used to, and he was a, you know, we could go on safari and shoot elephants with my horn out. Well, so we subpoenaed Howard Hill. And we get up there, and he and I sit in the jury room, and they never called any of us. Never any of us, because he didn't make any use of this stuff. He used stainless steel elves. That's something. But I never, I wish that Frank, he probably died thinking I did him in. I didn't mean to. I didn't have a chance to get off the hook. My neck was out of yard. And I like all these people for defending their characters. I'm going to finish.
Anyone?
I'd like to say that our next meeting in the month of March is going to be up at the El Cerrito Library, and it's going to be on the subject of cults. We'll be far afield from the normal skeptical inquiry focus, but I suppose it's tied into the rational thinking and absence thereof. And hopefully in April we're going to have a talk by psychologist on, well, actually, assistant professor of psychology at Stanford, but the subject would be the way of assessing the improbability of certain events, and we try to figure out whether or not they're unlikely or whether they're correlated with something else.
That's Lee Ross?
Lee Ross. He wrote very, very professional, somewhat contradictory book on that.
And the March, now this will be Lowell's Striker, is that right, from the Colts? What day in March?
I think it's going to be March 11th, and it's going to be a Sunday afternoon. It's going to be from 3 to 5 at the Oswego Main Library. And I wanted to have one of our meetings on Dowsing. And if anybody has any information on people who would be willing to talk to us about Dowsing,
yeah, Ray Hyman, if we can catch him when he's around sometime, he'd be happy, I'm sure, to talk on that subject.
No, Wilson is not.
Wilson, I don't know where he is. Well, get in touch.
And the fact that we're having it on Sunday next time, I think it is impossible for us to get it interactive, so it will be more of a two types of things, the meeting and then a kind of social conversation.
Should point out that Lowell Striker, who was speaking in March, and Lee Ross, who was speaking in April, that both were at the PsychOp conference in Buffalo last October, and both gave very excellent talks there. So, in a sense, you're getting, and that was an international conference of PsychOp. So, you know, if you want to have a chance to hear something that a lot of people had to travel a long ways to hear, you need only go as far as El Cerrito. Or wherever. Where's the April one? We don't have a place for that one yet.
We don't have it yet. I think it'll be on the Stanford campus.
Okay, great. That should be great. We rotate these things around. I know some people probably have to leave now. Those of you who need to leave, certainly feel free to do so. Those of you who want to stay and talk, we can talk a few more minutes. And I want to thank everybody for coming. And certainly thank JP for sharing these.
They
asked. This is under one of your many.
Yes. Well, you're right. You have to have a couple of
one of the things we wonder about. Your name.